Hi, Ben. Thank you very much for joining us today on the Pictures Podcast.
How's it going? My pleasure.
It's good. It's, like I say, we're really excited to be playing Wendy in our cinemas. And you know, way back when, a few years ago now, Beasts of the Seven Wild was such a big hit with our audience. I think it was the cover of our magazine, and people have been waiting for this follow-up.
Yeah, sorry about the wait. It's a little excessive.
What do you remember now when you're looking back? What do you remember from that sort of time with Beasts of the Seven Wild and sort of what happened afterwards?
You know, I think it was, I mean, it was such a complete sort of through the looking glass experience for me. You know, Beast was made really like, it was all family and friends and like was completely disconnected from the film industry. And we never had any sort of concept. You know, we dreamed of the movie playing in a movie theater for like a weekend. That was like the ultimate goal for us. So it was such a completely surreal experience. What I remember sort of well, the, you know, relative to Wendy was sort of, Wendy was this film that me and my sister Eliza had sort of, it was this kind of ultimate dream for us to make this movie and to sort of not just make a film about Peter Pan, but to go out and find the story in the real world, to go to places that were as crazy and wondrous as Neverland, to go find a real Peter, find real Lost Boys. We've always wanted to do this our whole lives. And I remember on the heels of Beast sort of realizing that we were going to have this one chance to propose a project that just no one would ever in their right mind allow us to make, except if something like this happened with the first, with Beasts. And so I remember just like, you know, there were like all these sort of opportunities and all these sort of pressures to like sort of do something commercial and make a film that would sort of capitalize on what happened with Beasts or whatever. But for us, the opportunity was all about taking on this film that just was absolutely impossible to make, because we knew that once we engaged with people, like real companies financing our films, and they saw how we made films, that would be like, we would definitely get kicked out of the club after that. So it's like, we got to do this one. Let's take this chance. And like, this is the opportunity that we're really excited about, is to kind of launch ourselves into an even more difficult movie with like higher stakes and bigger adventure, and to try to preserve kind of the way that we made this first film, the people that we made it with, the things that made it really special, to bring that process over into Wendy, but just try to do it in a much, much more challenging set of circumstances.
It's always great to hear, you know, when you're talking to a filmmaker or an artist, you know, talk about going for the passion project. And it sounds like this is something, you know, you were in such a good place to get this film made then. Wow.
Yeah. You know, it was really, it's something that we never thought would happen. You know, it was like there was a list of films that I still want to do because I haven't made them yet. But like, this was the one sort of on the list that was like, that'll probably never happen, but let's dream about it anyway. So it just was an incredible opportunity we had to make a film this way. And as long as I know it felt like a long time to the outside world, but for us, it was like, we went to Neverland, you know, time froze. We were immersed in this adventure really fully for all of those 7 years. That it wasn't like other things were happening. We were just fully in this experience, and really the film is a document of kind of what we went through in some ways in this crazy time period.
Well, the nice thing about your films, both of your films, is they are so real, you know, and the world is lived in, and you know, the way you capture the detail of the surrounds, and what I love about, especially in this film, is the camera's always at the children's eye line. Like, I love how you're framing your characters there, so it feels like, you know, you've kept your fingerprints in this, and maybe you're taking them to an even bigger scale.
Yeah. You know, I think we're always looking for a lot of our process has to do with kind of taking these stories that sort of are universal and that are kind of larger than life, and that we think of as, you know, when you think about Peter Pan, when you think about sort of stories like it, you know, it feels like this alternate world that doesn't exist, you kind of escape into, and we're always looking for ways that these myths really touch down in our lives and are accessible. And really, Wendy, you know, is a very different story from the original Peter Pan, and it's also a film that hopefully like makes you want to run away to like get out of your house to like go somewhere. And everything in the film, we tried to make the film such that if you wanted to go find Neverland, if you wanted to go sort of live the way that Peter lives, like all those things are accessible. You know, there's a place called Montserrat where we shot it that you could run off to, that you would see the volcano and you would see the cliffs, and there's like all these things, rather than kind of being fairies and flight and all these things that we sort of dream about, like everything in this film is accessible, and it's all, and we, and sort of a really important thing to us in making it is that we weren't going to kind of invent this world in visual effects. We were going to really shoot these things. So we were on oceans, in boats, in the caves, on the volcano, you know, everything that's kind of all this sort of exploration and adventure was, you know, we really did, and everything's real, and it's all kind of like, hopefully, you know, when you watch the film, and these are places that you can go and experiences you can have. And we wanted to kind of bring that to kids and to adults alike.
The location and you know, where you shot on location is such a gift, because it is so fantastical, and it's unbelievable that it is real. How did you find this spot?
I mean, it was sort of an early thought. We were sort of taking the elements of the story that felt like fairy magic, you know, the fairies, the mermaid, flight. And then a central one, of course, is like what causes these kids to stay young, you know, which is the fairy dust, you know, in the story. But we were trying to think about like what on earth is like a fountain of youth, essentially. And our mind kind of went to volcanoes, because they really are where the earth is being born. And they have this like youthful quality of being like, they're loud, they're destructive, they're beautiful, they're also like fertile, you know. It just felt like that sort of natural event was going to be what made the most sense to sort of be this, what connected the kids to youth. And so we were basically started going out to volcanic islands. And I'd heard this story about Montserrat, actually from someone that was on the crew of Beasts of the Southern Wild, who grew up there. And when I started talking about the idea, he was like, oh, you got to go see Montserrat. It's like, you know, and I don't know. As soon as I got there, both visually, just like the diversity of the landscapes there is so mind blowing, and it's also people that are living there. It has this quality, you know, that is almost in a way shared with New Orleans, where I live, of like two thirds of the island is evacuated. You know, the people who still live there like have this resilience and this passion for where they live and how they live. That just like it, so like sometimes you go a place and you're like, this would be a beautiful place to make a movie. Like, this is a place where I want to spend the next 4 years of my life, 7 years, whatever it is, you know, and you feel that there's this like kind of synergy between sort of the way you want to work and the scale and feeling like there'd be like a real possibility for like collaborating and sort of making a film that felt, you know, like it expressed the place. And so really like the story was quite different. And then when it sort of became centered in and around Montserrat, the actual landscape and the people in Montserrat, it really inspired a lot of the ways that the script evolved and it sort of came to hopefully be in some ways an expression of kind of what the island is and sort of what it's gone through in some ways.
I love how you, in the film, you show us different parts of the location and different landscapes and even underneath and inside the island as well. Like it feels like you get really good value out of your location in this movie.
Yeah, we actually went all over. I mean, the thing is also, it's Montserrat kind of inspired the natural architecture, but it's actually like a pastiche of a bunch of different places as well, because me, like being completely not a geologist, I had no idea that there just would not be caves in a volcanic island. And so the caves, we actually went all the way to the Yucatan in Mexico. The water was impossible to shoot around Montserrat because the ocean is just like completely, you know, it's just so, the water's so violent out there. And so we went to neighboring island Antigua and filmed a lot of our water stuff, and then caves were shot in Barbuda. And so like the production really spanned a lot of different places, and the island in the film is really it's a collage of a bunch of like just places that completely mind-bending naturally.
Oh, that's incredible. I think you've just planned a few film fans' holidays as well, if they want to recreate the feel of the movie.
Yeah, they're not all easy places. You know, it's not like they're not like beach vacations. They're just, but you know, if you want to sweat, you can get to some really incredible stuff.
You mentioned about, you know, location informing scripts there. I was just wondering what, from the original, you know, Peter Pan story, what were you really keen to keep in Wendy, and what were you sort of quite happy to not focus on too much?
Well, I think that for us, Peter existed outside of the actual story or the book or any movie of, I think that's true for a lot of people and for a lot of kids, like, and adults, in, you know, like, I don't remember really a time before Peter, you know, like, I don't remember hearing his story. I just felt that he was out there, you know, like, I thought he was this sort of spirit that inhabited the world and that everyone sort of has a relationship with, you know? And so I think that what we really wanted to kind of take from the story was just kind of exploring like why this character is so important to us throughout our lives, you know. Not, it's really, he's really not, I feel like adults think about Peter just as much as kids do, you know. He becomes this sort of symbol of how we understand growing up and what it means and how we deal with it, you know. And we wanted to kind of take this story because it, for me and I think for a lot of people, you know, Peter is part of like a very tragic story of growing up that gets told to us a lot. You know, the story of growing up is like the beginning of your life is the best. That's when you're the wildest and strongest and most free and most beautiful. And then like you sacrifice that to like get a job and you sacrifice to have a family. And then you get older and weaker and you die. You know, like this, we tell ourselves this story over and over and over again. And it's a horrible story. Yeah, it's totally tragic. It's, and it kind of allows us to like accept and rationalize like giving up sort of our, the things about us that are the most important to us. Often when we're young, we trade in for adulthood for some reason. And a lot of it is because of this story, and Peter Pan is part of that like global mythology that's getting pumped into our heads from when we're little kids. And so I think we wanted to take this story and make a film that sort of breaks it apart, shows that it isn't a natural reality. It is a story that we are telling, and that there's a way to take this story apart and tell it again in a way that doesn't have that sort of completely bleak outlook on what growing up should be, you know. And then I think obviously like the character of Wendy herself is one that we wanted to like literally just tear out of the mythology and completely reinvent. And I think that a lot of that, you know, like for my, you know, especially for my sister Eliza, this was her favorite story, you know, this mythology, because of the wildness of the character and the freedom of the Lost Boys and the sense of adventure. And, you know, she loved this story, but really Peter Pan and every version of it that's ever been created is sort of like embedded with this message that the adventure is really for the boys, you know, and for girls are supposed to wait at home, mend the clothes, put them to bed, worry about them, you know. Like it's a terrible message that the film sends to little girls and to women in general. And I think we wanted to take this character and make her the hero of the story, you know, and not by sort of turning in her into one of the Lost Boys, but really creating this girl that has this wisdom and understanding and power and strength that are beyond anything that Peter and the Lost Boys can imagine, and it sort of unlock new passages through the story and say something very different. I think that we wanted a really particularly sort of, you know, I mean, among this sort of mess that's in the original material, you know, motherhood in Peter Pan is this like weakness, you know. If you're a mother, it means you sit on the sideline and worry. And for us, we wanted to make a film where motherhood is like the ultimate power, you know. It's like the ultimate supernatural miracle force that causes sort of all the magic in the story. So we really wanted to kind of take this idea of motherhood as a weakness and turn it into the ultimate strength in the story. And so there's a million things like that, but those were some of the key ones that we sort of started with.
It's really, I was watching this with my wife, who knew literally nothing about the film. And I think she wasn't available last night. And then last minute she was. So she was like, I'll watch whatever you're watching. And it was really nice to watch her when I knew sort of where the story was going and sort of her realization, like, oh, it's Peter Pan. And then like that, there's like enough in there to even for a total, you know, if you come to it, you know, not prepared to get it, of course. But I think she was so caught up in the beginning in the family drama that when the Peter Pan sort of essence starts to come in, you know, it was like a total blank canvas. So I loved watching her reaction, watching this film.
That's cool. Yeah, no, it really, if you know Peter, that doesn't mean you know what happens in this movie. It's really, we're sort of taking the sort of bones of the myth and some of the characters and really telling a different story. And I was always really interested in like, you know, people who come to this from with like an in-depth knowledge of every version of Peter Pan are going to find all these sort of meanings and interpretations that are in conversation with the history of the story, but also people that have absolutely no familiarity with the myth, like will also sort of experience something that you don't need to know it to watch it, you know. And even if you know it, you're not gonna you don't know it. So
absolutely, I think if you do know it, you know, like this, there's so much in this that, you know, even if you've seen every single version of Peter Pan before, there's so much in this that you've definitely not seen. And I kind of love that, you know, like it's a, such a fresh reimagining of a very famous story in that respect.
That's what we were hoping.
You've got such a great cast in this film. I did wonder how you went about casting Wendy, especially because obviously Wendy's got quite a lot to do in this story. And when you're casting young actors, it can sometimes be a challenge to find the right person.
Yeah, you know, I mean, and it just, as with every process in the film, like, and this was just the incredible sort of opportunity that we had to make it, was that we just kept doing it until we figured it out. We saw thousands of kids and it took years. And, you know, when we met Devin, it was sort of like, it was definitely like a bolt of lightning. This is her, you know, and she didn't look like what we imagined. She didn't act like what we imagined, but it was, there was something in this kind of in her imagination, in just like the curiosity behind her eyes. And she was so, you know, I think for a lot of the cast, we're really looking for people who have incredible acting talent, but also whose sort of spirit is just of who they are already, kind of connects to the character or sort of opens up new possibilities that make sense with the character. And, you know, Devin had all that, but also Devin just loves to perform. And I knew this role was going to be the most challenging role that I'd ever directed a kid in. You know, she was going to have to like do her own stunts, you know, like all this dialogue. And I knew I was going to need someone who really, really loved it. And I remember sort of when I first watched her, I was like, oh, she, like her interview was so fascinating. But then when she dropped into character, you could just see her light up, you know. And then even after they called cut, just like you could see her just on this sort of incredible high from having sort of become somebody else. And I knew that we needed that sort of passion for the actual craft of acting for this character alongside the sort of things that we look for everybody else in the cast. And Devin just was this combination of just being this beautiful, curious little girl, and also just having like an incredible fire inside of her for acting and for everything else in life. She's just a force of nature. And as soon as we met her, it was like, okay, this is Wendy. And let's learn who Wendy is from her now, you know, and get, and, you know, we spent years and years working on the character and getting to know each other, and really her spirit informs so much of who the character is and where the film ended up going.
That's fantastic. And you definitely see it in the finished film. Like it's there's incredible performances throughout, but I really took notice of Devin, and especially, you know, when she's interacting with so many adults at the end as well. Like she really holds her own in those settings, as well as around the groups of kids and with the, you know, her two brothers and everything. It's remarkable performance. Yeah. And yeah, lots of stunts, lots of action in the water as well. It always sort of blows my mind when someone can, you know, act as well as reacting to real life, you know, sea and things like that.
Yeah. No, I mean, her, like that was a shock. Like I never thought we would get the underwater performances that we got from a little kid. The swimming, like there was so much water work in the film when we first cast the film, they barely knew how to swim. It was like Joshua, especially, who plays Peter, didn't know how to swim at all. And so when we sort of, I mean, that was part of just this sort of incredible process through which the film was made. You know, we met them, Joshua was 5, Devin was 7, and we knew that these were our characters, but we also knew that they weren't old enough to be in this film yet. They needed to learn not just how to be in a film, but also like how to swim. For Joshua, mm-hmm. he barely was reading at that time. So it was like, we had to teach him how to read. And so we sort of just met these two incredible kids and sort of invested as much time as we needed, and then waited to make the film until it was kind of the exact right moment where they were still had this sort of unselfconscious, wild, out of control youthfulness to them, but had sort of gotten far enough and spent enough time with us to where they were kind of ready to perform in all the crazy ways we were going to ask them to.
Oh, that's incredible. What a feat to be able to do that as well, and a reward for us in the audience. I just finally wanted to ask about the music. I think anyone who's seen Beasts of the Southern Wild will remember the amazing soundtrack, which you, am I right in saying you co-composed it with Dan Romer? And yeah. It's the same for Wendy, same team back together.
Yeah, yeah. All the music that I read with Dan. He's been there from my first short film. We've been working together, and one of my best friends. And yeah,
it's a huge achievement, you know. I don't know if there's many directors/composers out there in the industry. It does feel like two very unique skills that you've got there.
Yeah, I sort of came to, you know, I sort of found film through music in some way. Like I started like in high school, kind of when I started making stuff. Like it was the two things that we had this little group of us that was like, Saturday we are gonna like make a film, Sunday we have band practice. And so it always was kind of like the two art forms that I most enjoyed. And I think that like, I didn't really understand when I was a kid that it was like, oh, you're gonna have to like choose a job. It was like you're gonna pick an art form, you know, that is gonna be the one that you really pursue. And I think that when I sort of came to film, part of that was about being able to sort of continue doing all the things that I like to do, which was to write, which was to build, which was to and especially to write music. And so, you know, it's definitely like a sort of fundamental part of kind of how I just even think about and approach making movies. You know, as I'm writing, it's not just text. It's sort of like the what's happening sonically and especially musically is like always part of the language that I'm using to kind of imagine how the film is going to express itself.
So whilst you're writing, you're also sort of thinking about how it could sound as well.
Yeah, and it was an interesting thing with this one because it was, you know, like a lot of how I sort of researched the film was really just running wild with the kids. We would sort of set them in motion, like, or especially when with Yashua, because he had like, he grew up in a Rastafari community in Antigua, and there was like 20 kids there, and they would just eat their breakfast and then go. They were like off in the woods, up trees, in the stream, like sliding down. Like a lot of the stuff you see in the film comes from sort of the way that they play in the forest around their camp. And one thing that I kind of realized doing it was that like there wasn't any dialogue going on, and there were definitely no speeches. It was like no one was like stopping the game to really have a conversation, and the game was just like momentum, and it was always evolving, it was always changing. It wasn't like scenes were happening, you know. And so a lot of kind of the thinking about sort of those sections of the movie where we were going to be just like embedded in sort of wild children, I felt like the best way to express this is sort of through all this kinetic imagery and through the kids were imagining something much more grand was happening than what was happening, you know. They were always like, it was always bigger than what you were looking at. And so I sort of always thought the musical, this sort of like really grand, really sort of you know, like the music would sort of express the scale of adventure that the kids felt that they were on, whether or not they were actually on that scale of an adventure. And so that became kind of part of the language of the writing, is like, we're not gonna like stop and discuss how much fun we're having, or, you know, we're gonna embed ourselves inside of it, and we're gonna let the music kind of express what this fun means and how glorious it is and what it feels like for the kids. And so that was a lot of what we were trying to do with the score.
Oh, wow, that's fascinating. I mean, it's I need to go and get a copy of the score. I've got Beasts of Seven Wilds, and I'd like to add Wendy to my collection. It's such a beautiful piece of music.
Thank you.
That accompanies this movie, and you know, it's another reason yet to, yeah, again, to go to the cinema to see this, not only to enjoy the movie, but to really hear that score through that, you know, 5.1 surround sound in a theater.
it's a play it loud. It's a play it loud movie and a play it loud score for sure. So yeah, I really hope people get out there and see it big and loud.
Well, thank you so much, Ben, for talking to us. Really great to talk to you and sort of catch up after Beasts of Seven Wilds. And listeners, Wendy is in cinemas right now. As Ben says, see it big, see it loud.
Thank you.